we've had a busy week at the funeral home, and I've been praying all week, and I've been praying, asking the Lord, give me a sermon for today. And I texted Laura yesterday. I said, hadn't forgot about you. I said, the Lord just hadn't given me a sermon yet. And so I was praying on the way home and got home, and Janine had beef stew and cornbread and banana pudding ready for supper. Boy, it makes me want to go eat right now, just thinking about it. And by the time we got done, we got dinner cleaned up. This came to me, this message on being an influence. And I thought, boy, and Milton singing this morning, and as he sang, it just started making me think of people in my life that I had known who were a wonderful influence. Of course, I'll get into that in the sermon in a little bit. But there's been a scripture change. I had 2 Kings down here, but I want you to go over to the book of John, chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. I want to bring somebody else. I want to bring somebody else into this that was an influence. So John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, and when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the reading of your word. And we ask, dear God, that today you would help us, Lord, to be influencers, that we would be a Christian influence upon so many lives, that you would help us to make an impact in this world. This small boy had no idea what he was about to give and what it would be used for and how it would be blessed. But Lord, let us realize that with you working in us, we can do so much, and nothing is impossible. And God, we ask and pray today also, Lord, that you will speak to us through the message. Let every word come from you, Father, through your Holy Spirit, nothing from my own words or my own flesh or thoughts. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When I start thinking about making an influence or being an influence, well, a lot of people might get the idea that, to influence the world, they want to invent something great, or they write, a great novel, or they make, become something like a doctor, a lawyer. But I'm talking about being an influence in a Christian manner. We as God's people, we have a calling upon our life. We are called to go into the world, and we are called to preach the gospel as Jesus commanded to every creature. Well, basically means to every human being. So, as we think about influence today, I want you to put the worldly influences aside, and I want you just to focus your heart and your mind today on what God wants you to be. And know this, it doesn't matter what your age is, you can always be an influence starting this very moment today. If you will let God use you, He can take you places, He can do things with you that you never thought possible. So, as I was thinking of some influences in my life as a young boy, I remember, I've talked about my grandpa, so I won't really get on subject to him, because I told you how loving he was, how he visited people, how he gave himself to others. But my former pastor, Brother Frank Trotter, Brother Frank Trotter had a heart, and he had a love that every day that he went to the church, or even on Sunday, his intention was to influence others with the love of Christ, that he could influence others through his witness, through the actions that God put inside of him, that his life would be a testimony. And he did influence my life because, like I said, I never knew that I would be preaching God's word. My grandpa said I would, but I didn't think I ever would. But the thing that I always admired about him was I always admired his devotion to God's word. And you know, when he taught the word, he taught the word so clearly. He could take one verse of the Bible and he could teach on it for almost an hour. And he was so interesting to listen to. And it's not because of what he was saying or doing, but it's because God was working through him. And his sermons were always the type of sermons that made you think when you left church. But I also remember when the day came that Brother Trotter passed away. And I started thinking, well, who is going to get the message across now? Who is going to preach the word? Who's going to make an influence in others' lives? And it was at that time in my life that the Lord started to lay upon me the call to go into the ministry. Well, I kind of done one of those runaway type of things from the Lord. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to do anything that was going to cause me to get out of my comfort zone. I didn't want the Lord to be involved in my life in those ways. I was one of these that I wanted to go to church. I wanted to hear, and then I wanted to go home and everything be all right. I never wanted to be placed in a situation where things were uncomfortable, where I would be tried, where I would be pressed against. But it was in these situations I realized that finally, after running from God, that I had to surrender to the call in my life, because, you know, I realized that the influence upon my life had passed away. And it was time for me to step up and myself be an influence to other people. That maybe there would be another young man who would listen to some of my sermons and be inspired and moved in some way to serve God in all His capacity. So when I looked at this scripture, when this came to me this morning, I'm thinking about a young boy who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I mean, this young boy, now I want you to imagine him. He's probably walking along or trotting along, and he's probably thinking, man, this fish and this bread, when it's cooked today, it's going to be the best meal I've ever had. But he had no idea that he was about to give something that was going to feed over 5. Well, I believe with the number mentioned, there was probably men and women and children all together. I would say there was probably maybe 15, 20,000 people. But the young boy is coming along, and Simon Peter's brother, said to the Lord, well, this boy, this is all he's got. He's got 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. You know, what in the world can you do with that? Isn't it something how we could think? I want to focus on this for just a moment. How we could think so small of God sometimes, or how we think so small in our own mind, I should say. So when God called me to the ministry, I was thinking, well, Lord, what can you do with me? I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not, you know, Dr. W.A. Criswell. I'm not, you know, Jimmy Swack or whoever some of these other preachers were on TV. I used to compare myself to these well-known guys. And I used to say, well, Lord, what do I have to offer? And the Lord would just say, I want you to give what you can give, and I will take it, and I will bless it, and I will multiply it in your life. And that's exactly what happened here in this story in John, the sixth chapter. Jesus took what the little boy had, he gave thanks for it, and he blessed it, and he gave it to the disciples, and they took and they gave food to every person, and every person was fed to where they were full. And after everybody had received what the Lord had blessed and had given out, there were many baskets taken up of leftovers. Now, what I'm about to say, I don't want you to think in the sense of food, even though food's a good thing. But what I want you to look at is the small gift that you would have to give. God has placed something in your life. God has called each and every one of us to be an influence. And God has given each and every one of us talents and well, trades, I guess you could say. A lot of us have different characteristics. But in some way, God's called us to be an influence. And you know what God wants you to do? God wants you to take your life and present it before Him. God wants you to take that gift and lay it out and say, Lord, this is what I have to offer. You gave it to me. Now I want to give it so that it can be used for your work and for your glory. And when you surrender your life, excuse me, I got sinuses going on this morning. But when you start giving the things to God and you ask God to bless them, God can start to open doors in your life and He can use you in so many different ways. Now, I've said this many times, but you know, when I've talked to Laura and Sarah, and they've had people come by the orchard store or the yard sale, or maybe anybody else when you're at work or when you're at the grocery store or you're just out taking a stroll or whatever it may be, you've always had something unique happen where somebody was put into your path that God wanted you to be a witness to, that God wanted you to be a Christian influence in their life. For some reason, at that time, that day, God put you there for that person. And I want you to know that when God does something between you and somebody else, and when you are being that kind of an influence, God is planting a seed in that person's life and in their heart. Now, you can invite people to come to church, and they may come here to Bosque Dale maybe once or twice or three times, and maybe you never see them again. And we might think, well, I wonder why that person never came back. Well, you know what? The thing to think about is we never know what seed was planted, and we don't know what's really developing in their life, but we just got to trust God. And it may be that God has led them to a church that He wants them to serve in, that He wants them to be an influence. But in some way, we need to be an influence in somebody's life. Now, I've got the definition here of influence, and I wanted to read this to you. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says, it's the power to change or affect something or someone. The power to cause changes without directly forcing them to happen, or a person or thing that affects someone or something in an important way. Now, go back to that first definition. The power to change or affect someone or something. We all have power in our life. And I want you to know that it's not a power that comes from inside of you. It's nothing of your own doing. The power that lies inside of us to cause things to change or to have an effect, it comes from God. And that's why we have to pray on a daily basis, and we have to ask God to work through us to make a change, to make an impact. I remember going some years back to South Dakota, and we went to a little town called Blount, South Dakota, and every street, even the main highway, was dirt. There was not one blacktop road or concrete street or sidewalk or anything. And I think the population was about 300 or 400. Well, we rolled up in front of the Calvary Baptist Church of Blount, South Dakota. And here's all of us young kids in the youth group looking out the windows going, what in the world have we gotten ourselves into? You know, we didn't even know if the houses were alive in that town. It looks dead. And I just thought, boy, I've wasted a whole week of my summer to come here and do backyard Bible clubs. There ain't no kids nowhere. Well, we all kind of started mumbling and grumbling to our youth pastor about it. And he said to us, you just let the Lord work through you and to reach these people. And I'll tell you what, the very first day we were there, we got there on a Monday, and Tuesday we started backyard Bible clubs. I want you to know that there were more kids than you could count. And we were set up at different locations. And we would minister to the children through puppet performance, through sharing God's Word. But mostly, we shared God's love. We showed God's love to these people. We came to them letting them know that we cared, that we wanted them to realize that Jesus loved them and gave His life for them. And it wasn't until the very next day that we started to actually see the impact that us young kids were having was we were actually starting to impact the adults of the church. See, the adults in the church kind of get off one side and the kids were, you know, kind of on another. I mean, yeah, they were having Sunday school, but really there was no connection. There was no life-giving flow between the adults and the kids. And so here's a bunch of young youth showing up, making an impact on the lives of these adults. And we were forming friendships and bonds with these people. It didn't matter that they had dirt roads, that they had trailers and small houses. It didn't matter that they didn't have a whole lot of money there in that little town. But what God did was He blessed a backyard Bible club and He caused change to happen through His love and His power. Now, I remember the very last day that we were there, we were packing the bus and we were loading up. And I want to tell you, there were so many people gathered in the parking lot of Calvary Baptist Church that morning. And I want you to know that there were a lot of tears shed. What wasn't sad tears, but there was happy tears because of the friendships that were formed and the bonds that were made. And we had exchanged phone numbers with other kids our ages and even with the adults in the church. And we stayed in contact with them for a number of years. And to this day, in my, well, I don't know if it's in my wallet or in my nightstand drawer, but I still have a card with those phone numbers on there, and I can still call some of those adults out of that church, and I can still talk to them, and they can still remember to this day what happened back in 1985 and 1986, what God did through a bunch of kids. They saw that little church set on fire. They saw people who were being pushed to teach classes, to give into the lives of others that were in that church. And our youth minister stayed in touch with the pastor of that church. And later I found out why we'd gone. Because God called us to go there. When we gave of the small gift that God put inside of us, He took that little small gift and He made it a big, abundant thing. I mean, I met a young lady there, young girl, about my age. Of course, I was 15. I fell in love, you know. I fell in love with that girl. Thought we was going to get married one day. And I thought, I'll come back to South Dakota and I'll get her, you know. And we'll get married. We'll just, whatever. And her and I, but I remember when I left that day, boy, I just cried because I didn't want to leave that girlfriend of mine up there. I wish I could have brought her home with me, but anyway, God had all different plans. I thank you that He gave me Janine. But all through the years, the people that have influenced my life in some way, they have left what I would say they've left a major branding on my heart. And the brand that they left was a branding of their love. They gave to me so that I could be trained up in the ways of the Lord. They, you know, it didn't matter, you know, my age. It didn't matter what my race or nationality was or where I lived or what position in life. All I know is that God put the right people in my life at the right time. And I want you to know that even in the bad situations that I went through, the trying times, the one influence that was always there was God. I want you to know this morning that the most influential person in your life will always be God. And the first and everything, or the first and foremost thing we have to do every day is we have to put our trust in God. And we have to realize that the calling God has placed upon us, it's a special calling. And it's something that God, I believe, takes very seriously, and I think we should take seriously as well. And I believe that every day we should ask the Lord, Father, what would you have me to do today, not tomorrow, because we're not promised tomorrow. But God, what do you want me to do today? Who can I help? Who could I witness to? Who could I love on? Who could I pray for? Who could I make a blanket for? Who could I give money to? Who could I bake food for? Who could I go to the store and buy something that they're in need of? Who could I do that for today, Lord? See, we may think that the things we're doing don't matter a whole lot, but I want you to know that what you do for the least of the people, you're doing it unto the Lord. So see, when we're out in the world being an influence, we're not being an influence to others for ourselves. We're doing it for God, and we're not doing it for the other people. We're actually doing it for the Lord. And when we're out doing what God's called us to do, we should do it joyfully. We should have a glad heart. So, I'll tell you something I saw the other day. I walked out. We went to a church Tuesday night. There was a guy speaking, a good friend of mine, Ramon Stacy, pastors a church in Marion called the Cross Community Church. And so this guy spoke Tuesday night. As Janine and I walked out the front doors, we realized that we were about to make an influence because of what we had heard. And I saw on each post as you come out of the church, there is a sign on each side of the door that says you are now entering your mission field on each of those signs. And I thought, wow, I am entering a mission field. I don't have to go to another country. I don't have to have my name printed in the missionary, you know, publications that they've got. I don't need people to recognize me. I don't need people to know my name. I don't need my name spoken of highly by anyone. All I know is that in this life, I need to make an influence for the Lord. You know that the Bible says, don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing? You know what that means? That means what you're doing for God, we don't need to go and sound a trumpet before the world and say, look what I'm doing, or look what I have done. Ain't I good? Aren't you proud of me? That's not what our life is supposed to be like. When we're making an influence in someone else's life, we are to be humble in the works that we do. A couple people in the Bible is the little boy here that made an influence, and someone else that I could think of that made a great influence was Elijah. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Here's one man going up against all these non-believers. One man who went humbly and boldly before these people, and he trusted God that day to send fire from heaven upon the altar that he had prepared, or had the people prepare, and they poured the water, and you know, the said they poured so much water that the trenches were full and running over. And when Elijah prayed, God sent fire from heaven. And do you know what happened that day? There were people saying, the Lord, He is God. Do you know what God could do with you? Do you know what difference God can make through you? I used to go around saying, well, I'm not so-and-so, or I'm not my grandpa. I used to compare myself. I'm not like one of the disciples in the Bible. I couldn't make that great of an impact, could I? I used to think, I'm not worthy enough. Nobody knows who I am. And then I felt the Lord tell me, now, life ain't about you. It's all about knowing me. So see, when we're making an influence, we need to make sure that the influence we're making points the finger right back to the Lord. We need to let people know that He is the reason that we do what we do, and that we say what we say, that we act the way we act. See, the Bible says, be ye holy as He is holy. I've heard a lot of people say, now Jim, you're asking us to do things just a little too hard. No, it's not. I've always said that if we can, and I'm not stepping on toes, I'm going to say this, but there are so many Christian people, and I'm guilty of it just as much, that there's negative comes out of our mouth. And you know what? If negative can come out of our mouth, then we need to be the type of Christian people, even this guy right here, to say, today, I'm going to make a difference. Today, I'm going to let the Lord work in my life, and if I have to disengage my mouth from my brain, I will. Some days I need to disengage. I need to put this mouth in neutral and let the Lord work and speak through me. Then I need to work on being holy as He is holy, and it won't be by my own power, but it'll be by His power. And it may not happen overnight, and it may not happen in one day or 2 days or a week. We're all a work in progress, but we should practice being holy and being a positive influence in somebody's life. So that's why when we say, Lord, work through me, what we're saying is, Lord, speak through me. Lord, love through me. Help me to see, Lord God, through your eyes what you're seeing in the heart. Don't ever look at the outward appearance, because that's not what God sees. God sees what's in the heart. And that's what we need to be looking at. And there's something that Corrine said to me this morning. I was asking her how Milton was. And I'm not going to say nothing to embarrass nobody or anything, but Corrine said to me, you know, Milton has given to others all his life. And I see that. But you know what, Corrine? I also see that you've given too. Because you've stood beside that man for how many years now? 55 years being married together. And you've put into him, he's put into you. But you know where? That come from the Lord. That came from God. And when she told me that this morning, here's what I saw. I'm gonna get emotional. I'm sorry. But I heard Corrine saying, maybe not in the physical word, but I love that man. He's a good man. And I'm thankful that I know, well, I know all of you, but I'm thankful for what I heard this morning. Corrine, I needed to hear that. I want my wife to be able to say, my husband's given to so many, but not for himself. He gave because he gave to the Lord. And that's what's most important. I surely believe that the Lord gave this message today. Because you know what? We're living in the end times. We are in the last days, friends. We are in the last days. And it's time that we pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. And it's time that we get to working. See, there's a field out there that needs to have a good harvest in it. And you know what that field needs? Needs some good seed planters. You know of any good seed planters? I see a bunch of us right here. We need to start sowing seed. And we need to be people of influence for the Lord. And I've heard people say in churches, well, now we're just a small church. God couldn't do nothing with us. That's the wrong attitude. You know what God can do in this church right here? God can fill every seat in this church. I know He can. And I believe that He will. But what about the others? Do we all believe that together? That's something we should be pushing for. We should be pushing to get people to come to church because they need to hear. Wouldn't it be great one day to have two services because things has run over a little bit? I hear Effie now going, I got to play twice in the morning. Oh, thought I had to have a little laugh there. But anyway, be a person of influence, but do it for the Lord. See, just as that little boy, he had no idea what his gift was about, how he was going to change so many lives. So in your life, say, Lord, I have a small gift, but I know you can use it for great things, so let's do it.